We're looking at the sugya of Grogus v'tzilukim. That's on Daf Mem Aleph. And my goal here is to give you some of the conceptual structure. Obviously, the halacha Shulchan Aruch and from then on to the poskim. That's not in the shiurim. Hopefully, we'll get to that sometime. So the Gemara quotes a brisa, which is actually quoted in Beitza, Tachavavim in Beis. Haya ochel b'te'enim v'hosir v'helon l'gag lasos mehem grogros. He wants to make grogros, or banovim, he takes up the grapes, v'hosir v'aleim v'helon l'gag lasos mehem tzimuk, he wants to make raisins. Lo yochel ad shiyazmin. So the Gemara uses this brisa to establish what was stated by Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel just a few lines earlier, that Rabbi Shimon is mode to grogros v'tzimukim. In other words, what's being said here is a very important principle. We've discussed many times that ochlin are mechinim es atzmon. They're automatically considered mukhan. The Torah requires hachana with regard to ochlin. But according to Rav Shimon, there's no need to go around and point at the ochel and designate it for achila. It's mukhan me'ela. The hachana is built into the ochel. However, the exception is grogos v'tzimukim. And they're different than all ochlin. And the question is why? And we'll see a Gemara and Beitza on this. And we'll see Tosus here in the name of the Yerushalmi. The Gemara in Beitza, in explaining Grogos v'tzimukim according to Rav Shimon, uses the term ichzu v'lo ichzu. They're fit and they're not fit. In other words, they are royal achila, even in that middle stage, but marginally so. It's not something that most people would eat. And the Gemara goes on and says the following. Since it's not something that most people eat, it all depends on his gili das. If he's megaladaito that he wants to eat it, then it's considered an ochel. For him, it's an ochel. You know, it's for you, it wouldn't be an ochel. But he decided he wants to eat it. Therefore, according to Rav Shimon, we go back to our original principle that an ochel is mechinas atzma. So this concept, which the Gemara mentions in Beitza, again on Daf Chavav, that you have hazmana in Grogos v'tzimukim. The hazmana doesn't mean that he designates it as not mukta. You know, he can't do that. What he can designate it is an ochel. Once he designates it as an ochel, and he says for him, it's royal achil, and he expects to eat it, that itself, that kilidas itself, makes it into an ochel. So for you and I, it might not be an ochel, because we didn't have this hazmana. For him, he designates it for achil, and therefore it is an ochel. Once it's an ochel, then we go back to our principle that an ochel is mechin es atzmo. So again, the bottom line is that according to the Gemara in Beitza, grogos v'tzimukim are chazu. They're roi. Not for you, but they could be roi for somebody else. So even if you conclude that most people would not eat it, but there are people that do eat it. That's the Gemara in Beitza. But Tosus here quotes Yerushalmi. Tosus dimasel el begrogos v'tzimukim on the bottom of Memheim and Aleph. And you get a slightly different impression, or maybe even more than slightly, from Tosus. Tosus says, the Yerushalmi mefaresh, the Yerushalmi interprets what's grogos v'tzimukim, shemasrichim, they're, I guess you'd say, completely sour or unedible, bein time in this middle stage. V'kevan shemiskalkalim kol kach, the kilkel is so intense and so significant, dramatic. Aim datum lekachtam. He's not going to eat it. So it's not like the Gemara in Beitza, which says that it might be edible, it might not be edible. According to the Yerushalmi, it's not edible at all. Completely unfit. Not even marginally fit. That's the impression you get. So I was thinking, and I just want you to entertain this possibility, that maybe the Gemara in Masechta Beitza The Gemara doesn't specify whether it's going according to Rav Shimon or Rav Yehuda. Maybe that Gemara, that sugi, is going according to Rav Yehuda. Because according to Rav Yehuda, unless you make a hachana, unless you designate it, then it's going to be mutter. So you have something like Rogus Tzimukim, which for most people are not edible, then surely according to Rav Shimon, it would be mukta. I'm sorry, take that back. According to Rav Yehuda, it would be mukta. Rav Yehuda always says that whether it's ochlin or kelim, you need hachana. And if it's something that most people wouldn't eat or wouldn't use, then it's mukta.
According to Rav Yehuda.
I meant to say Rav Yehuda. I apologize. But yeah. Sometimes I say Rav Shimon, I mean Rav Yehuda. That's a pretty fatal error, but correct me. Correct? So that's according to Rav Yehuda. Is Memela, the Gemara wants to know what's the story with those grogus with tzimukim that achzu, velo ichzu. They could be, would Rav Yehuda admit that since they could be eaten marginally, you know, v'shas hadchak, if you're really desperate, you're on a desert island, you would eat it if you had no other choice. Would that mean that therefore it's an ochel and it's not mukta? So the Gemara says, according to Rav Yehuda, what you'd have to do is, you'd have to do a hazmana, which the Gemara used the language, gili daita, he's magal das, that he's amongst that group of people that would be willing to eat this stuff. He's not a mafunik at all, he's the opposite. He'll eat anything. I don't know if you've ever met such people, they'll push and eat anything. So if he's magal das, and he would eat anything, then for him, it is called an ochel that's mukhan. So his hazmana has the impact of making it mukhan l'shabbos. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rav Shimon, if it's ichzu velo ichzu, again, I'm influenced here by Tosafot the name of Yishalmi, then I would suggest that it's not mukta at all. It has a shame ochel because there are people that would eat it. I don't even care how many people there are that can eat it. Maybe if there's one fellow on the face of the earth that finds it edible, that's enough. I don't know. What the Gemara talks about Moder of Shimon here in Masech Shabbos, Moder of Shimon begrogus v'tzimukim, says Tosafot the name of the Yishalmi, it's a siracha. It's completely unedible. Nobody would eat it. So I just say this, Liyashiv, but maybe there's no stira between the Gemara and Beitza and the way Tosafot says in the name of the Yishalm. Alright, this was all an addendum to last week's shiur. Now I want to go on. Boy Mine on the bottom of Daf Mem Heimanal. Boy Mine, Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, Mi Rebbe. And this Boy Mine is a suffix in Rav Shimon. It's not the first time we had a suffix in Rav Shimon. Earlier on the Daf, you recall the sugya of Zoran Bekarka or Beitza Tachas HaTarnagolis. There the Gemara, Reish Lakish had a suffix in Rav Shimon. Then the whole sugya here of Grogos V'Tzimukim, followed by the sugya of Farsakin and Chavushim and all that, Charmin and Peros. And finally the sugya of Patzile Tamra. Now, this is very significant that the whole suffix is according to Rav Shimon, because the addressee, the one to whom this question was addressed, was Rebbe. And the Gemara is going to assume that the reason why Rebbe was called upon to respond to this question about what Rav Shimon would hold in the case of Patzile Tamra is because Rebbe also agrees to Rav Shimon. Which doesn't surprise me because we pass it like Rav Shimon. So it makes sense that Rebbe would accept Rav Shimon. So again, assuming Rebbe accepts Rav Shimon, so his son Rav Shimon, right, not Rav Shimon the Tana of Rav Yehuda, but the Bar Plukta Rav Yehuda, but Rav Shimon the son of Rebbe, he asked his father, and now we turn to Amid Beis, Patzile Tamra le Rav Shimon Mahu. What's Patzile Tamra? Rashi says these are unripened dates. Do you remember that from last time? Tamarim hanilkotim kodem bishulon. They haven't ripened. What do we do with them? So we pluck them off, and konsim osam besalim. We gather them together in baskets, and Rashi goes into great detail about the whole process of how they ripen in the basket, what kind of basket it is. Ma'u lechol mayam kodem bishulon. Do we equate Patzile Tamra with grogros v'tzimukim, or do we not? So again, one side is to say that since Moed Rav Shimon begrogros v'tzimukim, because in that middle state, it's not edible for most people, or according to the way the Yerushalmi interpreted, because it's not edible for anybody. What about patzilei tamra? Would that be equal to grogros v'tzimukim? There also, it's in this middle stage. It's in the process of ripening, and right now it's not very pleasant to eat it. It's not delicious or attractive to most people. So Rashi, in explaining this Gemara, Rashi says that Omer Lo, when Rebbe answers Ein Muktzah of Shimon Ela Grogos V'Tzimukim Bilvad, that Grogos V'Tzimukim is different than Patzilei Tamra. So I would have thought that the response is, based on what we've said until now, that Patzilei Tamra are edible, at least for some people, whereas Grogos V'Tzimukim, his kalkulu, the kilkul, as Yishalmi seems to have it, the Tosfos Yishalmi, is complete. It's not edible at all. Rashi decides, however, to throw us a curveball, as he does from time to time. And if you take a look on the fourth line down from the top of the page, why is Rav Shimon Moda Dafka in Grogos V'Tzimukim? So Rashi says, Deika Tarti. Grogos V'Tzimukim fall into two categories. Number one, Deika Dechinu Biyadayim Velo Chazu. Not only do you have the issue that they're not very delicious, not very tasty, but you also have an issue of dachu dechinu biyadayim. When you take these grapes and you hang them up over there on the roof, you lay them out to dry and to spoil, it's not enough just to say the lo chazu, because there is always somebody who might eat it, you know, b'shas hadchak gadol. Right, that's what they say about Rabbi Aaron Kotler's Hatzal, that he was machmir to sell perfumes and lotions on Erev Pesach, you know, that are made with alcohol, right? If they're made wheat alcohol, not artificial alcohol, because he said he read in a newspaper about some group, there was a plane crash and people were stranded on an island. And they were so desperate, they wanted to get high, I guess. No, they're so desperate that what they do, they took all these bottles of perfumes and they were able to distill the alcoholic content from it. Everybody, at least if you're dying on an island, you want to get drunk as you... But anyway, so Rav Aaron decided that therefore we have to sell all these things. Rav Shimon Eider in his book is making on it, so... Because it's a real pain in the neck, you know, especially if you're married to more than one wife, you know, and you have all these different perfumes from your different wives, you know, and you gotta go through it all.
I got on the recorder.
Anyway, all right. Just to wake up, Rachmiel. So I want to just raise one question over here. Rashi says that in the case of Grogos V'Tzimukim, not only do you have lo chazu, but you also have what? Dachu biyadayim. Because you hang up these fruits on top, correct? Is everybody with me? That's called dachi biyadayim. Masha'en kein patz'ilei tamra. That's not dachi biyadayim. So I was very perplexed about this, because Rashi himself explains what happens with these patz'ilei tamra. And if you recall, Rashi on the top of Memhamid Bey says that you put them away for the process of ripening. You know, you want them to ripen. You don't want to eat them as is. You pack them into these baskets. So what then does Grogos V'Tzimukim have that make it Muktzah according to Rav Shimon that Patz'ilei Tamra don't have? In other words, what was the suffix of the Gemara about Patz'ilei Tamra that maybe Rav Shimon would hold that they're not muktzah? So again, if Rashi would have indicated that patzilei tamra are edible in some sense, then nicha. But Rashi seems to give you the impression that why does Rebbe say that Reb Shimon would differentiate between grogos v'tzimukim on the one hand, which are muktzah, and patzilei tamra on the other hand, which are not muktzah? Rashi seems to indicate because the additional factor that kicks in the case of grogos v'tzimukim is dachu biyadayim. And that, for some reason, according to Rashi, doesn't apply in the case of Patzile de Tam. We're not sure exactly why. We'll leave that as a question for one moment, because I want to demonstrate why Rashi is very beautiful here. Again, not to explain how Patzile Tamar is different than Kor, but why Rashi comes up with this concept of Dachu Biyodai. Because if you open up to the Rambam we mentioned, I think, before, in Perek Chavav, Milcha Shabbos, Halacha Yudalid, the Rambam says that the reason why Grogos Vitzimukim are Mukta, even though the Rambam passes like Rav Shimon, says the Rambam, because of the Siracha. Because they're not edible. And you get the impression that according to the Rambam, as opposed to Rashi, we're dealing with one factor and one factor only. So let's say, according to our understanding, a grogros v'tzimukim, that if they're not edible, then Reb Shimon is moda. So I think the easiest way of saying it would be that these are like afar and avonim. Pakashem ochal. And again, like we saw in the Yerushalmi, there's a total sirachon. The Rambam says total sirachon, and therefore, it's not an ochel. If it's not an ochel, and it's not a kli, so by definition, by default, it's mukta. It's mukta machmas gufo. It's ofer ve'avonim. So what was the hava bina by patzile de tamra? Which, if we assume. So Mimonashach, if you're assuming that it's got the level of kilkul like Grogos v'tzimukim, so then it should have been Poshut, the Rav Shimon be Moda in Patzile Tamar, the same way that he's Moda, that there's Mukta in Grogos v'tzimukim. Because in all cases, it's not Lo Chazu. And if you're going to say, on the other hand, that it's more edible than Grogos v'tzimukim, so why would it have a shame offer? Or avonim, why would it be pakashem ochel legamre? And it's like avonim like stones, muktzamach masgufo. So what was the Gemara clearing about over here? Was the Gemara clearing about different dargas and what's royal achila? You know, if it's, you have 90%, 95%, you know, you could have a whole, what do they call those charts, you know, when it goes up like that, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Well, what's the word in English for that? You know, where they show you how it goes up, like where Boz had it even today on that page. There's a word for those. All right. You know what I'm talking about. You know what you make. Yeah. So if you compare Grogos v'tzimukim to Patzile Tamra, so Grogos v'tzimukim, you know, hits the top, and is that the nature of the suffix? It's a little bit wishy-washy.
So.
But according to Rashi, we have something beautiful over here. Yeah. Rashi says that, Rashi would say, and that's what he's implying, that the suffix in the Gemara Yibayluhu, that was the question asked before Rebbe, was, do I need a second condition in order to get Rav Shimon to be Moden and Ochel, that it's Mukta, and that second condition is Dachu B'Yodayim. Rashi says that in Grogos Tzimukim you have two factors. First of all, it's not Roy, and that factor is common to Patzile de Tamra. But you have another factor, namely, that in Grogos Tzimukim he was Docha B'Yodayim. So if you take the two together, then even Rav Shimon would hold that it's Mukta. That's the way Rashi seems to learn. So according to the Rambam, I think we're going to have to come back to the fact that Patzile de Tamra were put into the Salon. You remember how Rashi described it. And therefore, there's the Chiyah B'Yadayim for these Tmarin. And now we could say that maybe the Suffolk of the Gemara is the following. Enochinami Psile de Tamra are more edible than Grogos v'tzimukim. That was clear to the Gemara Mimonafshach. There are people who decide to eat these dates before they ripen. It's not like Grogos v'tzimukim. Gogsimukim, we said in the Yerushalmi and the Rambam, is an absolute sirachon. Miskalkilagamri. That's not so in the case of Patsile the Tamra. The Gemara Safik was a different Safik. The Gemara Safik was, what would Rav Shimon say in Dachu B'yadayim? Meaning, for you and I, it might still be an Ochel. But he went ahead and did an action to put it away. In Kalim, if you recall, we had a long discussion that that's meaningless. That was Rav Papa. That it's totally meaningless because it has a shame kli. But in Ochlin, where you need Hachana, so the question is, the opposite of Hachana might be Dechia B'yadayim. And that's indeed what the Gemara offers as a possibility, Reish Lakish offers as a possibility, in the case of Chitin Shazorim B'karka, who baits them Shetach Saratar Golas. Right? Look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ki les leil Reb Shimon Mukta Heichid Lo Dachia B'yadayim. But Hacha de Dachia B'yadayim is leil Mukta. So, the Gemara is trying to illustrate that this suffix of Reish Lakish is not a new suffix. It's an old suffix. It predates Reish Lakish. It goes back to the time of Reb Yehuda Hanasi. Already at the time of Reb Yehuda Hanasi, Reb Shimon Bar Evi asked his father, what do we do with something that's an ochel technically? It's not like grogus and tzimukim. It's not pukal eshem ochel. It's not offer of avonim. But on the other hand, it has the plus of dachu b'yadayim, or the plus or the minus, depending upon how you look at it. So in effect, there are two different siurim in the Gemara for the same exact suffix. One is psile de tamra, which is dachu b'yadayim. The other is chitin shazar b'karka, uveisa tach tarnagolas. But all these cases are cases of dachion b'yadayim. So that's all good according to the Rambam. And everything stims now lamaskona, because what was Revi's maskona? Lo moda Rav Shimon b'mukta ele b'grongas v'tzimukim bilvad. So Tamra, Patsile, the Tamra would not be mukta according to Rav Shimon. Why? Because it doesn't have that lo chazu, that same fashtunkina sirachon as grongas v'tzimukim. And the Rambam is very beautiful. Because we also pask in the same way, that was Rabbi Yochanan Amar Aleph, in the case of Chitin Shazar and Bakarka. Everything fits into a beautiful package. So according to the Rambam, we have a wonderful, wonderful thing. Dechia b'yadayim, according to Rav Shimon, even in Ochlin is not enough to generate a Shem Mukta. According to Rashi, though, you get the impression that the difference between Patzile the Tamra and Grogas v'tzimukim is the issue of Dechia b'yadayim. Meaning, Grogas v'tzimukim, in addition to being Lo Chazu, has another factor of Dachu B'yadayim. Whereas Patzile the Tamra does not. So Rashi and the Rambam are arguing about Patzile the Tamra, whether or not there is Dachu B'yadayim. So the question is, but Rashi himself indicates that these Patzile the Tamra, they were placed where? In the Salim, for the purpose of drawing them up, of ripening them. So why isn't that Dechia B'yadayim according to Rashi? So I'm thinking to myself the following, and this is a little bit way out. You have to know a Sugi Kedushin for this, actually. The Gemara Kedushin on Dav Zayin Amid Beis has a Sugi which everybody skips when they learn Kedushin, called Dechia B'kodshim. And the Gemara says that you could be docha behema when it's royal hakrova. If the behema is royal hakrova, then is a din of dechia. And even if you remove the mum or whatever it is that's docha it, so if there's dechia, it's hol v'nidches nidches. You don't take chos v'nir. But the Gemara says the following: that's only if it was roy, and then it was nidche, and then it became roy again. So in such a case, hold the nidches, it's possible liol and void. But let's say you would docha the carbon when it wasn't even roy, let's say before it was old enough to be roy l'mizbeach. In such a case, if later on it becomes roy again, as you remove the dechia, the Gemara says, then the behemah is k'sher l'carbon. What's the hechsher carbon over there? Because the dechia took place at a time when it wasn't even roy. Now, it's sort of counterintuitive. When the animal is shaykh to the mizbeach, at that point there's a halach of tchiyah, that tchiyah could come and be chal
and disqualify it. But if it's not even in the parsha at all, you know, if you had a table that turned into an animal, and you would put a mum in the table, so that mum, if it were removed later, and then it becomes an animal, it doesn't register on the Richter scale. It's not roy to begin with. So I'm just using this as a beispiel, as a mashal. The nimshal would be our sugi of patzile de tamra. What happens if you have something that right now is not roy? It's not like Grogros Vitzimukim. You see, in Grogros Vitzimukim, you had something called Anovim, or Grogros, that were edible, and you decided you want to make it into raisins. So you would dochit biyadayim to put it in a place where it now becomes unedible up on the roof when it starts drying, right? That's called Dechia. That's where Dechia could create, even according to Rav Shimon, a shame mukta in Ochlin, according to Rashi. Mashenke Patsili the Tamra, Rashi says they were never ripened. So from the time that they were born, so to speak, and they came into this world, they didn't have the element of chazu. So if you have chazu, then you can have tchiyah b'yadayim, according to Rashi. And that's the case of grogus mitzimuki, which are edible, and now you remove them. But if you have something like Patsili the Tamra, which never had a stage, that interim stage where it was roy, where it was ichzu. And now you want to say, well, you put it in the salim as part of the process of ripening them, so then dechia doesn't register. And you could say, even according to Rashi, that's exactly why Rabbi Yudah Nasi holds that according to Rav Shimon, patzili de tamar not mukta, because you're lacking in this element of dechia v'yadayim. Bishleim in krogus v'tzimukim, you have dechia v'yadayim. But in Patzile the Tamar, you don't have Techiya B'yadayim. The only question is how to square that with the sugya above that Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish that there's no mukta in Techiya B'yadayim. Okay, that has to be worked out. Why the Techiya B'yadayim in Grogus Tzimukim? Because it has the additional element that it's lo achzu, so you have A plus B equals C. And there, Rav Shimon is Modeh, but in Chitim Shezorim Bekarka, where just a minute before Shabbos he put into the karka, so it's still edible, and now he changes his mind, is Rav Yochanan says that the Chiyah B'yadayim is not enough. So again, we could, just to summarize everything we've been saying according to Rashi, there are three paragraphs here, according to Rav Shimon. Paragraph number one is Grogros Vitzimukim. Grogros Vitzimukim is Mukta. Why? Because you have two factors. You have both Eino Roy and you have Dechiyah B'yadayim. In the case of Chitin Shezorim Bekarka, you have Roy, right? Because it hasn't rotted in the ground yet. You just put it there. It's underneath the chick of the head. Just you have Dechiyah B'yadayim. But you're lacking the other element of what? Of Lo Chazu, that it's not edible. In the third case of Patsili de Tamra, Faket, you have Dechiyah B'yadayim, you have Lo Chazu, just the opposite, you have Lo Chazu, because Rashi says it's not edible in this stage, it hasn't yet ripened, but you don't have Dechiyah B'yadayim. So in other words, if you could combine Chitin Shezor V'karka together with Patsili de Tamra, and take the element of Dechiyah B'yadayim from what? From Chitin Shezor V'karka. And take the element of Lochazu from Patsili to Tamra, you put them all together, what you end up with at the end of this challenge is Grogos Vitzimukim. Because Grogos Vitzimukim is Lochazu and the Chiyah B'yadayim. That's Rashi Shita. The Rambam Shita's name. Rambam Shita is that the Chiyah B'yadayim, Lamaskona, although it was a Havamina, but Lamaskona Rav Shimon denies the Chiyah B'yadayim. According to Rav Shimon, the only mukta is if it's Eino Roy Klal. The Havamina of Patsilei the Tamar was identical to the Havamina of Chitin Shazar Bekarka, namely that since you did it the Chiyah B'yadayim, that alone would be enough for Rav Shimon to be molded that it's mukta. Again, only in Ochlin, not in Kalim. And the Maskona is not. As Rebbe says it, Ein Muxel Rav Shimon El Grogos B'tzimukim Bilvad, says the Rambam, because there's a total Sirachon, it's not Roy at all. You wanted to say the Patsili the Tamra, even though it's not totally, there's not total Sirachon. It should be Muxel going to Shimon through Dechiyah B'yadayim. We reject that idea. An Ochel is an Ochel is an Ochel. It's always Muchan Me'elav, unless you mafkir the Shem Ochel. And therefore, even though you were Madocha B'yadayim, that's not called Afkos Shem Ochel. Afkos Shem Ochel is only achieved in the case of Grogos Mitzimukim because there's a total Sirachon, it's Mekul Kol Lagam. Okay, now let's go on. says the Gemara of the Rebbe Lesley Mukta. Are you assuming now that Rebbe holds like whom? Like Rav Shimon? In other words, the reason why his son asked him about Rav Shimon was because he assumed that his father accepted Rav Shimon, and there's no Mukta. Vatnan, we learned in a Mishnah, this is a Mishnah at the end of Be'a. What does it say over there? Mashkin v'sholchin es ha-midbarios. Aval mashkin v'sholchin es ha-baisos. There are two types of animals here. There are those that are sent all the way, it's like Shiluach v'ishiti, you know, Sarah Mishtaleach, they send them all the way out to the Midbar. And we'll see that you don't expect them back for a long time. Or you have baisos, which are more domesticated. You don't send them all the way out to Malay Dumim over there, you know. Now, Vitanya, we have a brice attached to that Mishnah in Beitza, and it says there, Elu Hema Midbarios. What's Midbarios? Kol She Yotzos BePesach. So in Chodesh Nisan, you send them all the way to Yenemsveld, to the Midbar. Vinichnosos, and when do these animals come back? It's not clear to me how they come back. They come back on their own, like bird migration, or you got to send out your shepherds, you know, your Bedouins to get them back from the desert. Berevia in Cheshvan. So how many months is that? That's 7 months, correct? For 7 months, these midbarios are out there in the desert. Baisos, what are the baisos? Kol sheyotzos veroos chutz l'tchum. You send them a little bit outside the city limits. Ubos velonos betochatchum, but they constantly come back to their corral in order to rest up. So what's the story if on Yontif, obviously we're talking on Yontif now, he wants to shecht one of these animals? So Rebbe Omer, I'm sorry, I must have skipped something. Yeah, so we saw in the Mishnah that you can't shecht midbarios. Correct? You're allowed to shecht the baisos. Rebbe Omer, and Rebbe says, Elu v'elu baisos hey. Even those that you sent out to the midbar, those are also those also might, you know, might come back, or okay, we'll see. Rashi says you might bring them back, but Elu e Midbarios. If you want to know when the Mishnah says that you cannot shecht the Midbarios on Shabbos, on Yontif, excuse me, Kol Sheroos. Now here's a little tricky. What does it say in your Gemara? You have Ba'efer? Yeah, I also have Ba'efer. This doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. It has to be offer or something similar to offer, a kind of pasture land. V'ein nichnosos liyishuv lo bimos hacham v'lo bimos hagshamim. And these, not that they're away during the summer season, out there in the pasture land, they're away for the whole year round. You know, until you decide one day, you know, on one fine day, you decide to shech them, you send them out there. That's where they pasture. These are what you call low, what do they call low upgrade cows? Low maintenance cows. Send them out there to this pasture land, and they'll take care of themselves. I remember we once went on a teal with our guys up north, and they were pushing. There were cows galore. I mean, like there was nobody around. You know, just you know what I mean?
Right, they have fence.
No, there were no fences. No, I didn't see fences.
To the road.
Maybe there were fences.
They won't run to the road.
Oh, for maybe for the mines. But I'm saying I'm not a sheikhid, but I was very tempted to shecht one of those big cows. You know, I'm saying that there's like nobody around.
Never number.
You know,
never number.
Right. So they'll come after me and prove that I stole a cow. Right.
And they phone the number. And
but in any event, what's going on over here? So you see, Rabosai, that according to Rav Yehuda Nasi, there is mukta. When does Rav Yehuda Nasi accept mukta? That's only in the midbarios, according to his definition of midbarios, where you won't see them the whole year round. So maybe that would be a case where even Reb Shimon would be molded at this muktzah. But we only know if muktzah went according to Reb Shimon, it grows v'tzimukim. So the question is this case of Rebbe, of what do you call it, of Roos B'Efer, or whatever it's called, the Midbarios of Rebbe, is that equal to Grogos v'tzimukim? So that's the first answer of the Gemara. Gemara is two lishonos. Ebi, same according to the first lishna, Hani Nami Ki Grogos v'tzimukim Domi. In other words, that Reb Shimon is Modeh in the case of Midbarios, because they're like Grogos v'tzimukim. We'll see what that means. Rashi's going to give us a pshat here. The Ebois Ema, another possibility, is Lidvarov, de Reb Shimon Ka'amar Levalelo Sphirale. Okay, that listener doesn't interest me right now, simply because it's not Nogeh Lin Yanenu. Because in that case, the whole discussion is irrelevant. That Reb Shimon made a mistake thinking that his father accepted Reb Shimon. But I'm more interested in the second lishon of Ibai Seima, Lidivreyem, Derabonin Ka'amr Luhu. That basically, Rabbi and Reb Shimon would allow you to shecht any animal whatsoever, even the extreme in Barrios. But Rabbi was talking to Rabbi Yehuda. What was he saying to Rabbi Yehuda? Lidi D. Leslie Muktza Klau. I don't hold a Muktza at all. But Lididchu, according to you, Oduli Mias, the Hecha de Yotzis Bepesach Nechnasos Berevia, the Baisos Ninu, and there's no Muktza. For Abonin Amrile, Lo Midbarios Ninu, that even those that come back Cheshvin time on their own, they too are called Midbarios. But basically, it comes out according to the first Lishna, that the Midbarios of Rebbe, which means they don't come back the whole year round, are equal to Grogos v'tzimukim, and even Reb Shimon is Modetz Muktza. According to the second Lishna, Reb Shimon would be Matir any of these behemos, even those that are Midbarios Mamish, meaning they go out and they never come back. But Reb Yehuda, at least logically, should differentiate between two categories of Midbarios, and one should be classified as Baisos. In the case where they go out the whole year round, they don't come back, I understand. In the case where they come back a half a year later, 7 months later, I understand. But what about the case of Ros, of Yotzos v'Pesach, v'Nechnasos b'Revia? In that case, Rabbi Yehuda should be Moda, that it's not Mukta. Only if they go out of the Yishuv and they don't come back. Not for Yemos HaGshomim, nor for Yemos HaChama. That's called Midbarios, and it would be Mukta according to Rabbi Yehuda, not according to Rabbi Shimon, in the second Lishna, which is actually the third Lishna. I'm calling it the second Lishna. And the case in which Rabbi Yehuda says would be molded to Reb Shimon according to the logic of Rebbe is the case where they go out for 6 months, 7 months, and then they come back. So let's look at Rashi, Dibra Masli Bois Ema Hani Midborios Nami Kigrogos Domi. According to the first Teretz, even Reb Shimon is molded that the Midborios that come back after 6 or 7 months, because they go out, I'm sorry, my mistake. The Midbarios that go out for the entire year, even Yimos HaCham, Yimos HaGshomim, maybe Yimos HaGshomim, maybe Yimos HaGshomim, they have the status of Mukta like Grogos, Vitzimukim. Says Rashi, why? Did the Chinu be a dying? Because you, the owner of the animal, sent them away. You made that decision. V'yesh Torach Lelech Lavion. It's a real hassle to bring them back in. You could bring them back in. So therefore, it would seem that the machlokas between the two lishonos of this Gemara seems to revolve around the following. What would Reb Shimon say about animals which you could bring them back in at any time if you decide that you want them? But it's a real torach to bring it back. It sounds like our sugis and sukkah, you know, about shomrei pardesim. You know, who's going to go out into the paradise and set up a sukkah, bring out his matzos? Remember that old discussion. Here too, who's going to go out there in the Rosh Be'efer, and they don't usually come in for all year and go out and schlep in the animal, but you could theoretically do so. So according to the first Lishna, Rav Shimon would be mowed in such a case that it's mukta. Why, says Rashi? Because this is Rashi Lishitoso. That Rashi holds a grogos vitzimukim is eno roilo, and it is dachya v'yadayim. Same thing over here. In the case of Midbarios, the extreme Midbarios, Rav Shimon would hold this like grogos vitzimukim, it's mukta. Aye, the behemoth is ochel, but you can check that and eat it. So in the case of an ochel, Rav Shimon holds, there's no such thing as muktzah. And the answer is no. Rav Shimon agrees that there's muktzah in ochel. Not because he mafkir the shem ochel. You know, that'll be the Rambam shita here, in Grogos v'Tzimukim. That's obviously going to be very difficult here. And that has to be taken under advisement. What was the comparison between Grogos v'Tzimukim and Midbarios? But according to Rashi, it's Dechir B'Yadayim.
Oh.
Why is it Dechir B'Yadayim? So let's understand something. An ochel is considered muchan me'elof. Correct? That's the yisoda, yisodas v'shorash ha'muna of Rav Shimon. Right? In mukta. Comes along the case of grogos v'tzimukim, mod Rav Shimon, because you yedocha b'yadayim. What does it mean, yedocha b'yadayim? That it's muchan me'elof, because for you it's muchan me'elof. Not because for him it's muchan me'elof. You understand? You're the owner of this object, of this ochel. So for you it's got to be muchan me'elof. Correct? So what do we say? We say that on Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemoshos, every single ochel is muchan me'elof. But what happens if you go ahead and you dochev b'yadayim? If you're dochev b'yadayim and you're saying, as far as I'm concerned, this is out of here. You know, I'm putting it off my roof. I have no intention of taking it down. So normally, let's say, for example, Rav Shimon in the case of Ner. So if the Ner goes out in the middle of Shabbos, is Rav Shimon says you can take the shemen and you can add it to your salad. Why? Because even though at the time of Shabbos, when Shabbos entered, it wasn't muchan, this shemen, but I could already anticipate that it's going to go out in the middle of Shabbos. So you could create a coin to Rav Shimon achon liachar zman. But in the case of Midbari, also according to the first lishna of the Gemara, it's liachar zman mamish, meaning it's months down the line. It's like grogos v'tzimukim. It's going to take, I don't know how long. I'm not an expert in making grapes, raisins. But let's say it'll take a week or a month until it comes. I don't know. Or in the case of Midbarios, when am I going to take this animal back into the corral and shecht it? Months down the line. So therefore, you can't say hachon aliachar zman. What do you mean hachon aliachar zman? See, hachon aliachar zman is based on an umdun de muchach, that it's going to be muchon liachar zman. So in the case of a ner, I can already calculate at the beginning of Shabbos that halfway through Shabbos it's going to be extinguished and I have the shemen. So that shemen is muchon liachar zman. Because Rav Shimon rejects from Yehuda's migudis katzoi, so he has hachon liachar zman. So even though now it's not roy, obviously it's huktzel mitzvaso, right? I can't enjoy the Shemin, I can't be mistopic with Shemin, but I know that halfway through Shabbos, whatever have you, it will be Mukhan. So I can create a Hachon in Ochli Liachar Zman. But in the case of Midbarios, according to the first Lishna, since he pushes it out, and probably it's going to take months until it comes back, or he goes out there and decides to bring it in, then you can't say it's Mukhan Liachar Zman. It's we're waiting till the middle of Yontif until it'll be Mukhan. This ochel was nidcha. Masha Ein came in the case of baisos. What's the case of baisos? The baisos are not sent all the way out there, right? They're pasturing right there outside the tchum. And at any moment, he can go outside the tchum and he can take them in. Because the nechnosos l'revia, they come in frequently. So he can decide without any great torach to take it in. There's no, he doesn't have to pay, you know, hon tofot to some sort of shepherd to get the baisos. So therefore, you could say there's it's hachana liachar zman. That's according to the first Lishna. However, according to the second Lishna, that even in the case of, whatchamacallit, of Midbarios, even in the case of Midbarios, there's no muktzah in behemah.
So what are we saying over here?
So again, I understand in the case of Baisos, Roos Chutz L'Tchum, Ubos V'Lonos B'Tocha Tchum. So they come in and out, so when they'll come in, I'll take it. Actually, I said something wrong before. I said he would go out of the Tchum and take it. That doesn't make sense, because there's Tchum even on Yom.
No.
Okay, but the Gemara points out, the Braisa says that they come in and out of the Tchum, so he could grab it at any point. So that's called Muktzeh L'Acher Zman. But what about the case of Midbarios? Sharos B'Efer, or B'Ofar, V'Enin Echnosos, Lov Mosel, Chamel, Yisroel. Here the Be'im is not Mukhan, so shouldn't there be Muktzeh? So what's the difference between this case and Grogos V'Tzimukim?
We're not looking for a different case.
I'll tell you what I think it is. Itman yirutzel she tishman yitshev se chidush yofe the apshatu grogos v'tzimukim is mukta machmas atzmo. No, this is something. It's not an ochel. The problem with the grogos v'tzimukim being royal achila is inherent in the grogos v'tzimukim. Not so in the case of behema. Again, according to the second lishon in the Gemara, Reb Shimon would be matir these behemas even if he sent them to Yenemsveld. Why? Because if the behemas omed l'achila mitzad atzma, you can check it at any moment. Ella, what? It's a great tircha because you sent it all the way out there to Yenemsveld. It's not like chutz l'tchum coming in and out. So Reb Shimon, according to the second lishon, holds that you can't take the ochel and say that I'm afkia the possibility of hachana in this ochel, because I don't anticipate to do the great tircha and the overall payment and so forth and so on and bring him in, because that's not enough to generate mukta. To generate mukta in an ochel, according to Reb Shimon, according to the second Lishna, I've got to make a change that's inherent in the object, not in the mukam of the object. So I know, of course, you can ask me, but what about chitin? Shezoran Bekarka, or Beitzim Tachsta Tarnagolas. I mean, there's nothing inherently problematic about the Ochel of the Chitin or the Beitza, Elawat the Machal. So it's also external, extraneous to the object. So why is Reb Shimon Moda? So the answer is that we paskin like Reb Yochanan, that in such a case, Reb Shimon holds it's not Mukta. So again, the Havamina of Reish Lakish, which is like the first Lishna, would be there, excuse me, Reb Shimon be Moda, that it doesn't matter why something is muktzeh in Ochlin. It doesn't matter whether I was makatzit, I was dochit, because of atzmo, or because of makomo, because of the great tircha to retrieve it, or because it's sitting underneath the karka, it's planted underneath the karka. It doesn't matter which way or the other. But the maskana is that no, Reb Shimon, in order to be molded in muktzeh, it's got to be like grogos v'tzimukim. There's a sirachon. The sirachon is in the object. That's what removes the shem ochel. So again, let's just summarize what we know. So there are two lashonos in the Gemara as to whether or not Reb Shimon would be molded in the case of the extreme midbarios, those animals which are sent all the way out to a far out place. They come back, who knows when, but we're not anticipating their return. It would be a great tircha, Rashi says, to retrieve them. So those are two lashonos in the Gemara. And the Gemara claims that Rabbi Yehuda should be modeh, that in the case of what Rebbe calls baisos, which means they're roos, chutz l'tchum v'nechnosos, bos v'lonos b'tochat chum, is in that case Rabbi Yehuda should be molded that it's not mukta. So why? Because the behema has a shame ochel to it. And if it has a shame ochel to it, then it's mukhan me'ev. So let's finish up by raising the following question. According to Reb Shimon, how do we define grogros v'tzimukim? And would behemos haros be efer, who don't come in,
in Yemos HaChamen or in Yemos HaKshamim, would they be mukt? Like Grogos V'Tzimuk. So let's suggest two definitions of Grogos V'Tzimukim. Number one, all Ochlim, without an exception, are like Kalim, and they don't need Hachan. They are Muchanim Aleihem. Grogos V'Tzimukim is not called an Ochlim. Okay? That's one definition of Reb Shimon. Second definition is, even Reb Shimon agrees that Ochlin require Hachana. Just that Reb Shimon holds that the din of Ochlin is Milchanim Aleihem. They're automatically Mucha. And then Afkamina is going to be the case of Behemos, Haros, Biofar, or Biefer. If you don't like the first definition, then you have to be mafkir the Shem Ochel. But as long as it has the Shem Ochel, then according to Reb Shimon, you don't need Hachana. The Hachana is built into the Ochel. Then Behema, if it's an Ochel, and it can be shechted, I don't care where it is on the face of the earth, then it doesn't require Hachana. It's Muchan Me'ela. Grogos V'Tzimukim are inherently non-edible. Inside, it's inherent in the Chepta. Therefore, it's mafkir Shem Ochel. You can't be mafkir Shem Ochel in the case of Behema. So according to that first definition, clearly, Reb Shimon would be reflected in the second Lishna as being Mekil, that there's no Muksa, even in the case of Behemoth HaRoos B'Efer. Mashiach came according to that second definition. There Reb Shimon agrees that you need Hachana in Ochlin. But rather, we go into this Umdun Demucha kind of situation, we assess the situation, that each Ochel is Muchan. But if we have a reason to believe that a particular Ochel is not Muchan, for example, he put it up on his roof to dry, and it's not edible in the interim. Or, for example, he took a behemah and he sent it out to the midbar, and it's not going to come back for a long time unless he does a tremendous tircha. In all those cases, you can't possibly say that there's a hachana me'elav, and therefore it's not muktzah. So Reb Shimon would be moda, like the Gemara says in the first Lishna here on Behemah Beis, that in this case, you can't say it's mucha me'elav, and Ochlin need Hachana, and therefore Moder Reb Shimon, in the case of Behemos HaRoos B'Efer, that it's Muktzah. Okay, we'll stop here.